You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and around the world at kfai.org. The community's true voice.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them, and not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, I just want to really quickly congratulate my wife, Wendy, and I are celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary today. And she's made me a better man, and I just want to give her some flowers out here on Native Roots Radio, and love her too so much and what she does for our family. So she's made me a better man, and I just wanted to say that. Hey, we have Bob Blake from Red Lake, the Solar Bear with the Solar News and Sports. Great to see you, Bob. Thanks for coming on, as always. Ho-wa.
Ho-wa. Hey, Robert, I just want to say congratulations to you and Wendy on 25 years. Simply amazing. Wendy is wonderful. Robert, you are awesome. I mean, you're just a great couple. And I hope you guys enjoy your day, honestly.
Yeah, I overkicked my coverage there, as they say, Bob.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, Robert, I mean, with everything that's happening in, you know, today and everything that's going on, it's just really nice to see just a wonderful couple like yourself just doing good things in the community, and, you know, continuing to move, you know, important, you know, ideas and conversations forward the way you're doing it, Robert. And I know Wendy does a lot of great work in the community too. So yeah, just thank you guys, man. Just, you guys just enjoy your day today, honestly.
Yeah, I really, really appreciate that. And I know Wendy does. And again, I did overkick my coverage, but, and a funny thing too, we were talking because Wendy had been married before too. And this is the longest that she's had a name, last name, even Pilot is her last name. So it's the longest she's ever had. Our Pilot is the longest she's had as a last name. And I always think it's funny too, when I hear people call her Pilot, and I kind of giggle to myself because a lot of people, and especially my former students, call me Pilot. So it's really, or when I was in school too, you know, when I was in school, but I always get a chuckle out of that.
Well, I've heard your students refer to you as Pilot at some of the powwows that I was at, where you were at. And then I know that my brothers grew up with you.
Yeah.
And you guys have some pictures in the St. Paul Pioneer Press right now.
Right.
Of the 200th anniversary of this country.
Yeah.
That was like 50 years ago, Robert. That's crazy.
I know.
And I know that my brothers would call you Bob Pilot.
Right. Right. Exactly. So there's, we don't want to get deep into this. We got to talk about news and sports, but I'll just say this. There's different eras. When I was little, people called me Bobby, when I was, you know, a teenager, up to when I was 23, it was Bob. And then I changed it back. I asked people to call me Robert when I sobered up in 1984. So I can tell where people know me, from what era by what they call me. That is funny.
Oh, that is too funny, Robert. Well, I hope you guys have a great night out tonight. And, it's unfortunate. Well, I don't know. I suppose it's the way you look at it, but Robert, we are under a heat dome is what they're calling it. Heat wave, heat dome in this country right now. And what a lot of people are talking about, something that we always talk about, Robert, on the Solar Bear with the Solar News, is climate change and the environment and how this particular, they're calling it an El Nino, where there's like this heating of the ocean, and that comes into the, through the West Coast and brings this like enormous amount of heat that normally wouldn't happen, but because of the heating of the planet and those forces taking shape, we have this incredibly intense heat wave that we are now starting to deal with here in Minnesota. So, climate change is real, everybody.
Yeah. And with the fires, unbelievable fires. And I know, Bob, I take a walk. Today I didn't, but usually 5 or 6 days out of the week, I walk down to the dam, the old Ford Dam. And there hasn't been too many days, even in the winter or spring, I should say, that there's been water going over the dam. And that's a drought. That's a drought from up north. That's a drought here in the Twin Cities.
Yeah. And, the unfortunate thing about that, Robert, is that means that, it's getting very dry out there.
Yeah.
And a lightning bolt, we've got the 4th of July. Everyone, be careful with your fireworks. Understand we are in drought conditions around the state of Minnesota right now. We do have multiple fires popping up. I was just talking to somebody about, the storm that came through Bemidji, and I believe it was 9 million trees.
Yeah.
That went down. They're still trying to clean that up, Robert. And, what's happening is those trees are drying up and it's becoming like tinder.
Yeah.
And I just saw a report on, I believe it was like 3 fire people that are fighting fires that lost their lives. Yeah. Everyone, take this seriously. Fire moves really, really quick. And, this is really serious. So please have your, evacuation or some type of plan put together with your family, because when everything starts happening, and if we've learned from what happened out in the Paradise Fire out in California and these different ones that, took place, families always come back and they say, I wish we would have had a plan with our kids, with our family, where to meet at, because
where our pets too.
Where our pets are at. Because one of the worst things they say is not knowing where everyone is at.
Yeah. Well, I think Bob, we need to talk about, I was going to say reiterate, but that's not the right word. About fireworks and fire.
Yeah, absolutely, Robert. And in these dry conditions that are in the state of Minnesota right now, everyone be careful with your fireworks. If you can go without them this year, I would highly recommend that. If there's another way that you can, celebrate this, if you can leave it to the professionals, I would really suggest that, because, it doesn't take a lot for one of these fires to start and to really get out of hand. We have really windy conditions.
Yeah.
I fought I went through wildfire training, Robert, out in Montana, Billings, Montana.
Jeez.
And we were out in West Missoula. And I'm telling you, Robert, you know, there was a situation where I believe it was like 5 miles wide, 10 miles long. And that fire went in like 15 minutes, like 15 minutes. You can't outrun that stuff. And so that's why I say this stuff is very serious. And I just hope everyone's safe this 4th of July, honestly.
Yeah, we'll talk more about the climate and things going on around the community and the nation. We're with Bob Blake, the Solar Bear of the Solar News, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after the short break.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time, starting in 1492.
To those who have kept their homelands and to the nations extinct due to mass slaughter, slavery, deportation, and disease unknown to them, and to the ones who are subjected to the same treatment today.
To the ones who survived the relocations and the ones who died along the way.
To those who carried on traditions and lived strong among their people.
To those who left their communities by force or by choice and through generations no longer know who they are.
To those who search and never find. To those that turn away the so-called non-accepted. To those that bring us together. And to those living outside, keeping touch, the voice for many.
To those that make it back to live and fight the struggles of their people. To those that give up and those who do not care. To those who abuse themselves and others.
Hi, it's Dr. Evan Adams, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. Hey, Victor, you better be listening.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Native Roots Radio, and we are here with Bob Blake from Red Lake, and we have Misko producing the show here in the background. Just again, I want to say a happy wedding anniversary to my partner, Wendy Pilot. Hey, Bob, you were mentioning something just before break, and your life's like a onion. I'm peeling it out after all these years. You worked for Prince. You know, you've been doing solar for all these years, and I just heard you worked in the Minneapolis School District, which I did not know or remember. But you also said something, especially nowadays with the fireworks and the fires and all these things, that you were a firefighter. Welcome back.
Yeah. I wasn't even unemployed for 1 week when I left Prince, okay? And my friends were working at the Minneapolis Public Schools, and they got me a job working at Sanford Middle School. And so I was literally with Prince the week before I was with these young junior high kids the week later. And I did that for the next couple of years. I ended up working for Indian Education. It was a really great experience, but it wasn't my career choice. But I ended up the following summer, after school let out, I was visiting my parents in North Dakota at Fort Totten, in Fort Totten Indian Reservation. And I seen these people that were doing this test called the PAC test. And you have to, like, I don't know, 5 miles or something. And I was sitting out back and they were like, yeah, that's really tough and everything. And well, I was in really, really good shape then. And I said, oh, I could do that. When are they doing it next? And, oh, they're doing it tomorrow morning. You can go sign up. And wouldn't you know it, I got right behind the cross-country star of the tribe.
Oh.
And me and him went at it for a couple miles or something. I forget. But let me tell you something. That guy was in shape because I stood right on his heels. And we went through that and got back and took that test. And the next thing, they shipped us out to Billings, Montana.
What?
And so there I was going through wildfire training. And one of the things that was really interesting, Robert, was we got off the bus and we went to this gas station, in this mom and pop gas station. And they saw we were all in our green and yellow shirts. We had yellow shirts and green pants, and we were, you know, U.S. Forest Service, you know. And the mom and pop place said, "You guys grab whatever you want."
Wow.
And this is how serious it's out there around the fires. Well, long story short, Robert, we were going through our training, and they were telling us that, you know, there's going to be animals coming from the forest as you dig your trench. And we were digging trenches and we were doing mop up. And I didn't see the bears, but apparently there was a couple of bears that just walked right by my teammates who were only 100 yards probably away from me. I had no idea. I didn't see them. I did see snakes, right? Wow. And it was an amazing experience. But they told us, you know, that you can't outrun the fire. You're going to have to use your fire shield. You're going to have to dig a, trench, or you have to dig a hole, put your mouth in it. Your lungs are going to be full of dirt, but you will survive if you do this.
Wow.
And because they said it's like being dropped in the middle of the ocean with all of your equipment. And because the fire is sucking all the oxygen out. So it's like you will suffocate because of the fire. And so I think it was a 5 mile by 10 mile or something that it went in like 10 minutes, Robert. That's how quickly these things move. And that's why I say to everyone right now, this is very serious stuff. So right now there's about 245,000 acres right now that are being burnt right now from wildfires.
Jeez.
They said there's about 34,000 wildfires so far this year. We're on pace to set another record. And one of the biggest right now is in Utah. Right now, Robert, happening right now as we speak.
Jeez.
And what's happening, everybody, is that all the moisture is being sucked up into the air because this is climate change, and it's traveling to the east, and it's basically turning into one big lake. And that's why we get floods in North Carolina, and we get fires all over on the West Coast.
Yeah,
because this is climate change and this is what's happening. And it's drying out everything. And just the simplest thing like fireworks and whatnot can really start these fires. And that's why I say to everyone, maybe if we pass on the fireworks this season, and not only for our, you know, four-legged, you know, relatives, you know, you know, because they have a hard time with fireworks, but also our veterans and other folks that, you know, are dealing with, you know, PTSD issues. So, in my opinion, Robert, I think if we could, or just on the fact that we don't want to start fires, maybe if people abstain from fireworks and leave it to the professionals this year, that would probably be a good idea.
You know, too, Bob, when you were talking, I remember just 2 years ago. So we were in New York and the fires from Canada, you couldn't even see a block. And then we had all summer, we couldn't go outside, it seemed like, because we had, air quality warnings. And I mean, that can turn into that really quick again.
Robert, I purchased 3 air cleaners about a month ago or something, because in anticipation that this fire season was going to be bad. So, you know, I'm already thinking about it, you know, and that's why I say having fallback areas with your family, going through kind of a routine with them, saying this is what's going to happen. Because what's going to happen, Robert, when these things start happening, your cell phones are not going to work every week. The towers are going to be just jammed. So you know, have something together with your family. Say, this is what's going to happen. This is where we meet. Everyone go there. Because one of the things that I think we've learned from these fires that have happened on the West Coast is you always hear from the families that say, you know, the hardest thing for me was trying to find my daughter, trying to find my son, trying to find their loved ones. So if everyone can at least just do that, have a plan put together where to meet everyone, that would be a great first step. And then once you're together, then think of another where, okay, here's how we move through this, how we get out of here.
Bob, you know, one thing too, I was thinking, not only the fires, and I'm glad we're talking about this, especially with the 4th of July and fireworks, but the weather, the tornadoes, the humidity, you know, it's coming with all the, you know, we have Tornado Alley that goes down, you know, below us, you know, a whole alley of states. But I see tornadoes in Florida now. I see tornadoes that I, as a young person, even in my 60s, do not remember anything like this.
Yeah, and this is all due to climate change, Robert, and the storms are going to become more violent, more common. We're going to see them coming into metropolitan areas where we've never seen them before. And this is why I think it's really important for everyone to be able to have, you know, a plan put together, to have, you would call it a bug out bag. I have read, Robert, so many prepper books, many emergency evacuation plans that it's just ingrained in me. And so, like, I have my bag put together. Like, if I had to leave right now, Robert, like, if there was something happening right now, I can literally leave in 10 seconds with what I need and take off. And whatever happens to my place happens. You know what I mean?
Well, and I better get my baseball cards in order.
Right?
Jeez.
And so it's really important, everyone, that you somehow get comfortable with that.
Yeah.
And understand, you know, during the situation with ICE, you know, I went through a little thing on my Facebook page about gas mask. I have my gas mask. I have all that stuff put together, ready to go, just because you just never know. And so I don't want to sound alarmist or anything, but what I want people to know that preparation will make you feel comfortable and make you have a clear mind when there is chaos around you. And your kids, your family, your loved ones are going to appreciate that part.
Absolutely. Hey, we are here with Bob Blake, the Solar Bear with the Solar News, and we're having really a great discussion about climate and things. I know Wendy and I have, or I should say Wendy cleaned up underneath our basement steps. We have chairs there. We have things there. Have a plan. Again, great talking about this, Robert. Hey, we're going to be back with Robert Blake after this short break. This is Native Roots Radio. Ho!
KFAI and Women Folk Radio proudly present a special album release concert with Austin, Texas singer, songwriter, and community builder Vanessa Lively, who is touring in support of her new album, Mirroring the Wilderness. Taking place on Wednesday, July 15th at Ice House's New Courtyard Stage, the show will feature special guest performances by soulful Americana favorite Mother Banjo and award-winning singer-songwriter Sadie Gustafson-Zook. Show is from 7 to 10 p.m. on July 15th, and tickets are available at IceHouseMPLS.com.
Yeah.
This is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hecha,
wecha. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot, and we are here with our friend Vin Dion, Indigenous Protectors Movement, and all-around great guy. Vinny, thanks so much for coming on. A lot going on. You guys are boots on the ground, and if nothing else, I just love having you on and saying I appreciate you and appreciate all the work you and your family do for the community, which is not going unnoticed. And again, a big peeny giggy for coming on, and thank you.
Thanks, Robert. Happy to be here today.
So let me just get personal here for a second. You look like you're in great shape. You've been doing a lot of running. That's got to be just a great feeling, huh?
Thank you for bringing that up, Robert. You know, last year, I didn't know it at the time, but I went into the doctor, right? My parents kind of were going through some health issues, right? And it was something to do with their hearts, you know, and it kind of happened back to back with them. And it kind of worried me because you think about the hereditary stuff and things like that. So really, it made me like, you know what? I'm going to call NAC and make an appointment. So I went in, made an appointment, and then I found out that I was pre-diabetic. I had high blood pressure, and I had high cholesterol. And so, you know, we always think we're young forever, right? I remember like 6-7 years ago, I was in the best shape of my life. So like very humbling to find that out, you know, but us with our bodies, our native bodies, it's hard for us to break these foods down, right? In the colonized world setting. So I got on blood pressure meds, but also I had to do something about that, you know? And it was tough at first because I wasn't exercising for a while there, you know? Then last year, you know, with Mini Shields, we had a lot. I was working 70-hour work weeks, you know? Like, that's our jobs and our roles that we have in the community. It kind of gets in the way sometimes of our own personal health, right? So, you know, we hit the Metro surge came about, and, you know, I realized that even with taking my meds and giving up sugar and watching what I ate, my blood pressure was still through the roof, you know? So I went back to the doctor and like, what can we do here? I was thinking it was more mental health stuff, you know, but they said that you need exercise. So I got out there and I started running again. Cause it's been a while since I ran, you know, and body felt sore, went out a couple days later. And so for the last, I say 4 or 5 months, I've been on that journey of getting my body back in shape, you know? So while I was doing that and just being who I am as a person, I like to challenge myself. I like, you know, so also I wanted to give myself a goal to move towards. And so I just went ahead and did it. And I signed up for the Twin Cities Marathon. And I've never ran a marathon before ever in my life. It was always like 5K races, 10K races. The furthest race I ever did was a half a marathon. And that was the furthest I ever ran. And one, you know, that's 13.1 miles. Yeah. So even when I was in shape running, I was always scared of that marathon distance, you know. And finally, I had to take my own advice because, you know, you only grow when you do things you haven't done, right? No matter how scary they are. So I just went ahead and I signed up for this race, and then I went start doing the research, and I got a whole training plan going. And so for the last 4 months, I've been running 5 days a week and doing like exercise workouts twice a week. I actually have it written down for 3 times a week, but I've only been doing twice. But
right on. The only time I was running was when I was young, running from the cops. But that's another story or another show. But yeah, I appreciate that. And it's cool, too, because I didn't realize you were doing that until I saw your videos. And then I don't know, has it been a while since I've seen you? Because you've really transformed, I think, since last time I saw you. And it doesn't seem like it's been that long.
Yeah, this last time, You know, I go to NAC. I utilize all the resources that we have here in our community, you know, Native American Community Clinic. I go there for all my health needs, mental health needs. They got a good program over there. So, this last time I went to do my checkup for my high blood pressure and stuff with my physician over there, they were like, wow. They seen how much weight I lost. They're like, you are glowing, you know, like, and it does feel good when you can transform your body in a healthy way by diet and exercising, because it takes discipline. It's tough, you know, to watch what you eat, to get out there every day. You know, it's yesterday's run. I had to do a 3-miler. Luckily, it was only 3 miles yesterday. It was hot yesterday. You know, that was a tough one. And I got another 4 miles I got to do today, you know, after this. So I'll be doing that. But
when you're talking to people and maybe giving them some advice of the journey you've gone through, it's kind of like inch by inch, it's a cinch, yard by yard, it's hard. So you knocked off smaller goals at a time and increased them.
Yeah. Just like in any way, you know, when I really wanted to change my life around and do better and move in a positive way, right? It can be started here. And if you think about this long journey, you know, it's easy for us to get distracted, like, oh, that's too hard. That's too much. You know, yeah, we could set this long-term goal. But in the meantime, if we set just little itty bitty tiny goals and we just start reaching those goals, after a while, we're moving up, you know. And so that hard goal you had set here doesn't seem so far away no more, you know. Just like right now, that marathon goal that I have, that seemed like so far-fetched when I first, you know, I'm like, this is going to be a tough long-term goal, but I'm going to have to do it by showing up every day, you know, by having that strong mindset. No matter how tired I am, no matter how long my day is, I'm going to have to go there and pound some pavement, you know. That's where I'm at. And I think this is my 8th week as far as this plan that I signed up for. I'm on a 20-week plan through the Runner app that I signed up for. So I'm like on week 8 of this, you know, this pretty, I don't want to say the word rigid, but, you know, this training schedule. And so in week 8 I'm in right now, it's getting easier. It's getting easier by the day. It's getting easier by the week. So, and I just feel stronger. And I'm like, you know, the further along I go, the easier it looks like I'm gonna, you know.
I saw you at a meeting today, and I know you have take on a lot of meetings, so you have to like really set time and schedule too, because you are, you know, sitting down a lot in these meetings.
Yeah. You know, and all thanks to my wife, Rachel. She really supports this journey that I'm on, because it's a lot, too. We're both busy. And then after work, you know, we have a baby. We have a 2.5-year-old, you know. So she's been very supportive, as in, like, you going to go do your run today? Like, yeah, I'm going to go get it done. So
Nice. Well, that's I'm so glad we were able to talk about your journey. This is it's great and inspiring too. I mean, I do a little, you know, but I'm an old man now. I'm 65, but I try and get my 10,000-15,000 steps in the morning, and if I don't get them done in the morning, they won't happen. So that's why I need to do it at a certain time every day. And it looks like you have to do your exercise, at least your runs, it looks like, at night.
I am a night runner. Sometimes it will be right after work. Sometimes we have to make sure, get the baby to bed first, too, before I can get out there, you know. When I do my weekend runs, though, those are daytime runs, usually in the mornings, if I can get out in the mornings, but or the afternoons, you know. Look forward to those Saturday long runs. I just did a 14-mile long run this past Saturday. That's the second longest run I've ever done in my life. So, you know, and when you start doing things like that, it just seems like this marathon goal is more doable, you know?
That's amazing. How long did it take you to run 14 miles?
I'd have to look at my watch, but it was over 2 hours, maybe like 2 hours and 15 minutes, 2 hours and 20 minutes, something like that.
Wow, that's amazing. And this has to help your work. And we want to talk about Indigenous Protectors Movement and all the things that you do, but a happy, healthy mind, a healthy body, healthy mind, right?
It really goes hand in hand. You're not just your production, but like your overall mindset. You know, when your body feels good, you feel good. You know, when you have that energy, it just feels positive. You know, and that does translate to the work out here, and gives you a little more discipline.
Yeah, well, I'd like to talk a little bit about what's happening on the Avenue and the work you're doing too in the next segment. You know, we just had Marin on, and we were both yelling at the way things are happening, because you know, it looks like Franklin Avenue and parts of Franklin Avenue is a prison with all these fences and things, and that's not what our community deserves.
That's correct. We are the city of fences right now, you know. When I go to these meetings, I say, "Yeah, it's good for the fence company, but what about the rest of us?" You know,
right? Exactly. And we talk about, and I know Robert Lilligren talks about that, but we talked about so much with our relatives that are have no home, about how the city points at the county, and the county points at the state, and the state points at the city, and it's just a vicious circle that then nothing happens. And it's got to be hard, because Indigenous Protectors Movement and you guys do a lot of work in the community, and it's got to be hard not to. You guys could do a lot with that money and that support, and you have done a lot for our community, and I just want to advocate for that too.
Man, it's been a lot. You know, my daytime job, I'm the manager for the AICDC outreach team. This is my sixth year of doing outreach. Been out here in the streets a long time. You know, when I first started this work, I thought I was going to be able to show my lived experience and really change this thing around and end homelessness. You know, that was my goal. But it's tough. We're dealing with active addiction, you know, active addiction, which I'll say is rooted in trauma, you know, and starting with the generational trauma, but also the traumas that our people are facing out here today, you know, on a day-to-day basis. And right now in our community, it's been a lot, what's going on with the stress, not just as a worker, but like with our community members too, you know, I'm also the co-chair for the Mud Safety Committee. And so, you know, our community members will come in there with, you know, when they need their voice heard. And so, you know, they have been coming to our meetings and they, you know, for their voices to be heard. And a lot of our people are living in fear right now, you know, our elders, our children.
Let's talk more about that, Vinny. Hey, we're with Vinny Dion, Indigenous Protectors Movement and marathon runner. Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio. Oh, wow.
It's Dr. Evan Adams, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. Hey, Victor, you better be listening.
In this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our wolf and bear populations throughout Turtle Island. Say no to the hunts.
Oh! Oh.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio. We are with our friend Vin Dion, Indigenous Protectors Movement. And we're, you know, it's kind of fun. We didn't really plan this, but we're really talking about health and mental health and how they combine each other and how goals inch by inch, it's a cinch. Yard by yard, it's hard. And this is a really good talk. Vinny, let's talk a little bit about what else you do. And I know it sounds like you got three jobs going on here, plus a beautiful family. And I don't know if you saw this, but your wife did an unbelievable article with In the Circle, which is coming out and tomorrow. And we're really excited to, I don't know, I feel like I'm really excited to know you guys and be part of your native family. So again, thanks for coming on.
Yeah. Thanks, Robert. I'm just, my wife is amazing. I could sit here and just talk about Rachel all day long. Being in a household with her and I, learn a lot from her, but also, you know, I humble myself and take a back seat to Rachel as well too. And I'm all for it. I'm here for it, you know?
Yeah. How did you guys meet? I know the answer, by the way.
She just made a post about this. We met at an AIM meeting over at the Leech Lake office over there across from Matthews Park. And that was the first time that I've met her. And I'll give you my point of view on it. I knew she was an AIMster, so and I just love to get to know, meet new people, especially people that are doing great work. And I know that Rachel was doing great work in her area. And she was talking about doing this walk for Leonard, you know?
Yes, yes.
And so I remember I went up to her and I was like, hey, I can help walk, you know, like introduce myself. Hey, how you doing? I'm Vinny. You know, like if you need any help running, you know, I was like, I have ran before, so I can do that as well. And when I went up to speak to her, she kind of just like played me off, right? I was like, what, does she not like me or something? And come to find out later, she just told me that she was like instantly smitten by me. She was attracted to me, so she was like scared when I went and talked to her. But I seen it differently. I seen her as like she didn't like me. So
yeah, well, what was great too was that we had Rachel call us on that walk every few days, and it was just amazing. And I ran into you guys. I was in Washington, D.C. about ICWA, and then you guys came like same day, and we were at the same place in front of the Supreme Court. And it's just like, it's crazy to run into people in different states that you know. It's just like, oh, my God, you guys are here.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So then you guys worked together, and then did that long trip. How many days was the walk for Leonard?
I believe it was 2 months. 2 months of walking. Wow. And so for my end of it, what I was doing, I had my daytime job here, right here in Minneapolis. I got to show up every day, which I always do, you know. So on the weekends, I was like the weekend warrior. You know, I would show up on the weekends, and then I would run with the staff and just give all the walkers like a day off, a day or two off. Right. So also, you know, just being around Rachel, it was kind of like my courting moment with Rachel, you know. I was all warriored out, like, yeah, just give me the staff. I'll go from morning to nighttime. And I was, you know, I knocked some hours, like I think I one of the times I did like 20 miles in one clip. So I was able to help out there. And yeah, that was kind of our courting stage. And so every weekend wherever they were at, I would show up, you know, after work on a Friday, hit the road and find where they were at. And then I would be there until Sunday night. Then I'm coming back to work for Monday, you know? And I did that all the way till, I think, Ohio.
Wow.
Because every weekend they got further, you know. So it was like I was going farther. I remember it started here, and then I remember us going to like the edge of Minneapolis or the edge of Minnesota. And then I remember us being in like Black River Falls, and just kept going a little further at a time. And then before you know it, we're in Illinois and Chicago. That was amazing. I got to run through Chicago with the staff like that. That was a awesome experience. And yeah, all the way into Cleveland, you know, got to mm-hmm. walk with the staff through Cleveland, which was awesome too.
Yeah, that's totally amazing. And I got to ask you this too. I don't think you and I have ever talked about this, but you know, when Leonard, after putting all that effort in and planning, and with the last second of Biden's administration somewhat releasing Leonard, must have been just unbelievable feeling of all the work that you put in and all the other people across the last 40, 50 years. That just must have felt just so great. And then you got to meet him when he came out.
All of that surreal moment, unbelievable, hard to describe or put into words. You know, when we did this, I remember hearing Rachel's pitch about doing this walk. You know, as kids, you grew up here in Minneapolis, you heard about AIM back in the day, but you also heard about Leonard. You know, you seen the T-shirts, Free Leonard Peltier, you know, and so, and also like the old Aimsters, these ones were giants to us. You know what I mean? This is who we looked up to. And you think about, you know, they were fighting to get him out and they couldn't get him out. And so, you know, growing up, you're like, well, if our AIM leaders couldn't get them out, what are we going to do? You know what I mean? I think a lot of us like gave up on that fight. So to have Rachel come in with her fire and her desire and discipline and wanting to get this done, you know, initially, I'm not even going to lie to you. I was just like, okay, we'll get to do a walk. You know, did I really think we were going to get him free? I didn't, you know, but I was going to do it anyway, you know, and then.
I didn't realize how emotional I would get. We at the end of the show for 8 years said Free Leonard Peltier. That was the last thing we said on our show. And when it happened, it really hit me. I couldn't believe it, and kind of getting emotional right now just thinking about it.
Yeah, I definitely cried, you know. I also was locked up in the Bureau of Prisons, the Fed system, you know, same time Leonard was. So, we were never at the same prison yard together, but I was in the different types of prisons that he was in because he was in a high security. So I was at a high security. So I was definitely in there with a lot of people that did time with him, you know, in prison that knew him very well, you know. I met other AIM brothers inside there as well too. Those are the ones that kind of encouraged me to take up this activist work. You know, I never seen myself as an activist. I remember reading like Clyde's book, Dennis's book, Russell's book while I was inside, and I thought about how amazing it would. You know, I was like, it would be cool if AIM was still out here today, because I was, you know, hearing their stories, Dennis and Clyde, how they got out of prison right. And changed their lives around. I was like, that could be a great model for what I would like to do, you know? And then boom, we get out and the riots hit and AIM gets born again. And we're like, wow, is this it? You know? And, and it's still going now, you know, and helping, you know, getting the word out there and putting Leonard Peltier's story back into the media and, you know, to the younger generation to see what's going on and, you know, with the political landscape, how it is now and people have different mindsets, you know, everything just all came together and it worked out. And especially having like Nick Tilson and Indian Collective and that whole crew over there taking it on, like, Indian, I got nothing but love and respect for them and how they get down and how they figured out this activist work in today's day and age, you know?
Wow. Hey, Benny, thank you so much. Great conversation. Really appreciate you. I know you're watching your baby, so I appreciate you coming on. And wow, I'm glad we talked about a lot of stuff we've never talked about. Great to see you. Hey, everyone, we'll see you tomorrow. This is Native Roots Radio. If you're listening to us, you are part of the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Support for KFAI comes from the Dakota, presenting the James Hunter 6, Tuesday, July 14th and Wednesday, July 15th. Bringing 60s-inspired rhythm and soul to our postmodern world, the James Hunter 6 return with their latest album, Off the Fence. James Hunter keeps the groove in the pocket and the blues on the docket with his retro sound that won't be kept down. It's a Stacks of Wax vibe that sounds fresh all over again. More information about the James Hunter 6 live at the Dakota is available at dakotacooks.com.
Kerrigan.
And I'm Hadley.
We're two of the very first listeners, and we're
still listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio. Wendy, happy anniversary.
Yeah, happy 25th wedding anniversary.
Yay. And people said it would never last. Hey, I know you got a lot to talk about. I'm just going to hand over the mic to you. Thank you for coming in on our anniversary to talk about some important issues.
Yes. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashka Hanajinga,
yes,
which means walks on white clouds.
Oh, I would panic.
I'm a policy volunteer for the Humane World for Animals, formerly known as the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. Thank you, Robert, and for talking about the fireworks and animals in the previous segment. It's really important that we take care of our animals. And, you know, as soon as you can, call your vet if your pet needs some medication, and keep the window shut and the air conditioning on, and don't bring them out to see fireworks. That's all I have to say.
No, that's good.
During the 4th of July is the time of year where the most dogs and pets go missing because they get scared and run off.
No.
So, yeah, we're in a heat wave. We're in a heat wave. What's the heat index today? What did it say? Something over 100. Yeah, it's a lot.
It's
so anyway, we really have to take care of our pets and our wildlife. Let's not forget about the critters who live in our backyard. Mm-hmm. But quickly, for our pets, we really, like Wanda, our dog Wanda right now has health conditions, you know, and this humidity and heat really affects her. Like her breathing is really bad. And so she goes out just for potty breaks for 5 minutes and that's it. She's back in the house because it really is affecting her breathing. So just be aware of that. Always keep cool, fresh water out for them at all times. Walk your dog, of course, early in the morning or at sunset. I don't even think it's sunset if it's going to be any cooler.
No.
You know, of course, avoid the hottest part of the day. And here's the one thing that I always try to do is test the pavement. So with the back of your hand, if it's too hot for 7 seconds, it's too hot for paws. So always use the back of your hand. That has the most nerve endings, and you can really feel how hot the pavement is. So 7 seconds, if it's too hot, don't walk your dog on the pavement. You know, it's really too much. And never, never, never leave your car in your dog in a parked car, even if the windows are cracked. It's really too much. You know, year after year, unfortunately, we see so many dogs that like die in the backseat of cars because they're in there. And honestly, I don't know what the law is in Minnesota, but if I saw a dog struggling and panting and they were in a car, I would risk arrest and break the window and get the dog out. I would do it.
Yeah. I think the law is that you can.
Yeah, I'd have to look that up and make sure. I know different cities and states have different laws, but you could always call the police. That's one thing that the police will do. They will come and get the dog out. And watch for signs for heat stroke. Right? So excessive panting, drooling, vomiting, weakness, confusion, or collapsing. And if you suspect that your dog is having a heat stroke, move your pet to a cool space. Offer small amounts of water to cool them down. And like use cool towels and wrap it around their paws. Like if you put it on their back, it like puts their body into shock. So like put the cool cloths and towels or water, whatever you have that's cool, around their paws, you know, on their belly, between their legs. That's really, they could get brain damage from heat stroke. So, and call your vet right away. You know, this morning I went out and I filled all our bird baths with fresh water, made sure they were moved in the shade a little bit more. you know, even though when the sun comes around, it just, you know, heats them up. But I also put a dish, I know people laugh at me, but I put a shallow dish and I have a bunch of pebbles in it and I fill the water up just so like bees, butterfly, even flies can fly on top of those pebbles and drink water. You'd be surprised. I have a couple of videos too I should share and put on. I don't have them readily available right now where I have some bees landing on those pebbles and you could see that they're drinking the water because it's very shallow.
They're giving you the thumbs up.
Yeah,
too,
you don't want them to drown. Yeah. Yeah, we got like, say, one, two, three, four bird baths. Oh, and hummingbird. If you have hummingbird nectar outside and this heat, what happens is the sugar crystallizes and then the hummingbird will drink the nectar that you put out for them and their beak will adhere, like their top and bottom beak will adhere to each other and they won't be able to open it again. They won't be able to eat and then they die. So make sure, like last night, I put it out and then before we leave today, I'm going to take it back in and then put it back out tonight, like at midnight. So it's there for them in the morning and then take it back out again because I don't want that sugar to crystallize inside the hummingbird feeder. And also, if I make my own, it's a 1-to-4 ratio. So I do 1 cup of sugar to 4 cups of water. Mm. So I boil the water first and put the, 4 cups of water I boil. Then I put 1 cup of just plain old everyday granulated sugar. Don't use organic because organic has other ingredients in it. You know, don't use raw sugar. Just use plain old granulated sugar and let it cool. I store it in the refrigerator and only fill that hummingbird feeder up, you know, just enough that's going to last like a day or two because I want to change that out. And then never wash the hummingbird feeder with any kind of soaps or detergents. Right. I just really rinse it out really well with very, very hot water. Sometimes people say you could use vinegar also, but I don't even bother with that. I just, you know, wash it out really well with very hot water and a brush. And that's all I do. Yeah, I put it out there. It's really... yeah, it's really too hot right now, and it's just too much. Also, you know what it says here, too?
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.